Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletin in the middle, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes as we engage in the story of God among us. We've been talking about, we're in the season of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit that takes what we have and catches fire, has that passion for what is possible or what we can do together. I want to start this morning by telling you a story that Mark Twain used to tell. Now, the problem is with Mark Twain, you're never really sure whether it really happened or whether it's an embellishment that he created in his own mind. But he told it as a true story. He said that one time he was on a journey from Boston to the Midwest. And he used to carry with him a large attaché that carried all of his papers, the books that he was reading, the books that he was in the process of writing. And he would carry it with him and work on it on the train. But on this particular journey, he didn't want to do that. And so he went to one of the porters that were packing his bags, his other baggage, and he said, can I also pack this? If I pack this with my other luggage, will it survive the trip out west? And Mark Twain, in his embellishment, said that happened to find a porter that had some kind of a sense of humor. And so the porter looked at his bag and he picked it up and he took his bag and he threw it across the platform and it tumbled over and over again. And he said, now, if you're going as far as Philadelphia, your bag will need to survive something like that. And he went over and he picked up his bag and he started slamming it against the train. And he said, now, if you're going as far as Chicago, it's got to survive something like that. And then he picked it up and he threw it on the ground, and he started to jump on it. And as soon as he started to jump on it, the latches undid, and his papers and books went sprawling. And he said, and if you're going as far as Des Moines, it'll have to survive something like that. So tell me, are you going as far as Des Moines or not? And Mark Twain started to say, this was an amazing way of trying to figure out if my bags would survive. But sometimes I wonder, especially with the events that have happened this week, if we often feel that way. You know, that sometimes we feel like our lives have been picked up and thrown across the floor. That events kind of seem to spiral out of control. I told several people the events that have happened in Oklahoma, I imagine that this time last week or on Saturday, people were celebrating, they were going about their business, life was good, beautiful sunshine, not knowing the events that would unfold in the coming days. And sometimes we can be like that. We think we have it all together, and all of a sudden we feel like we're being slammed around and say, I don't know that I can survive, I don't know that I can go the distance. We feel sometimes like broken people. Can I deal with the brokenness of the world in which we live and the world in which we find ourselves? Many of you probably already know that Kiana and her husband Ron both grew up in Oklahoma. And so this week I was kind of talking with them. What's it like to grow up in Oklahoma where, you know, whenever there's a dark cloud that begins to rise, you're not really sure if there's a tornado that's going to be underneath it? And she said, it's not a whole lot different than living here. You just kind of get used to it. It becomes part of the background. It becomes part of your everyday events. You just learn to look for these signs, and you see what's happening. But sometimes it goes a bit too far. And I wonder, as we think about the people that are trying to pick up the pieces, I wonder what church was like for them last week, and what will it be like for them this week? More importantly, when we think of our own life journey, we often try and put it in terms of perfection, that we are perfect people that are living out our faith, when in fact, very often we are broken people. Memorial Day, more than any other time, reminds us of that brokenness, that we can become stronger as a result of coming together and remembering and celebrating what has happened. And so this morning, as we're going to open up God's Word, we find that the Apostle Paul not only recognized the broken parts of his own life, but he celebrated them. He said, there's a wisdom about that brokenness that makes me even stronger than I could have been any other way. He said, so I don't want to hide from that brokenness. I want to embrace it. I want to look at it, and I want to understand that God is doing something amazing in my life. And so this morning, as we open up the passage from 2 Corinthians, Paul has something that he wants to share with us as a community, as a people that are gathered to share in our brokenness, but also in the mending. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen and we allow the Word of God to become part of our own life story? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I'm a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. I'm reading this out of the Message translation. Paul writes, "Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We are proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, 'Light up the darkness,' and our lives filled up with light as we saw and we understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power within us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by trouble, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, He does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting the best." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray this morning that we accept and we acknowledge what You are doing in our lives. We pray, O God, for healing and restoration. We pray for renewal. And Father, we pray for Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the journey or the good news, is he uses this metaphor that God has placed an incomparable gift in a clay pot. Now, think about what he's saying. A clay pot. A clay pot is unadorned, it's ordinary, it's not fancy on the outside, but it is also very fragile. It's easily broken. And the Apostle Paul is saying the reason for this, the reason that God has given the message to us, is so that the world will know that God is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. There's a movie that is constantly on TV, and I've seen it several times, or bits and pieces. It's just simply called A League of Extraordinary Men. And when I think of the church, I always think of that image of people getting together, ordinary men and women, to do extraordinary things, whether it's things like malaria nets, whether it's healing, bringing healing to people in Oklahoma. We gather together to do things that no one person could do. The problem is that sometimes when we think about our own brokenness, we think in terms of failure. We think that God wants to make us perfect people, when in fact God wants to make us into usable people, people that he can use to allow that gift to come out, to shine through. And he said, so it's not what's on the outside, but it's the gift that is growing on the inside. And we know that instinctively. We know that the values that we hold true, the integrity, the honesty, the compassion, the gentleness, are things that come from the outside, from the inside to the out. But sometimes that gift comes when we are broken the most. I love this quote, that the church is not a place for perfect people, but rather of broken people who are beautifully mended by Christ into a masterpiece of life and love and grace. God uses our brokenness, our humility, to change and to bring forth beautiful things. This is a place, or this should be a place, for healing and restoration, for people to acknowledge that brokenness, but also receive the healing that is necessary. As Paul writes, he acknowledges his own failures. He acknowledges that for many years he was persecuting the church. He recognized for many years that he was the least of all of the apostles, but God was using him, and that gave him such strength. And I believe this morning that as we acknowledge even our own problems, our own difficulties, we can see within them the seeds of a greater strength that would be possible any other way. See, the problem is that so often we think that brokenness means failure, or that if we have a broken pot, what do? We throw it out and we buy a new one. But what if we could reassemble that pot into something that was more wonderful, that was only possible because it had been broken? See, the first thing that I want you to understand is that brokenness does not mean useless, but it means it's ready for rebirth. It's time to be used for another purpose. It's time for a transition. It's time for a moment of growth. And we can sometimes only grow, we can only experience the deeper things when the things that we're holding on to are broken. I love this passage from by a man by the name of Sanchez. Sorry, I was going to get that out. I love the way he writes this. He says, trials in life are courses with very high tuition fees. And so I don't want to cut class and miss my lessons. Lessons on humility and patience, on hope and on asking others for help, on listening to God, on trying again and again and again. Sometimes we're so eager to avoid difficulty that we don't grow, or we stop growing. We stop seeing life through eyes of compassion. We seek the easier way instead of what is right. Recognize that if there is some bit of brokenness in you or someone you know, it is the beginning of new birth, not a lasting failure or a moment of ridicule. I wonder if you, when I was watching the news about the Oklahoma bombing, I don't know if you saw this or not, there was one particular story that really caught my attention. One of the teachers, it seems, that had gathered some of her students, and I remember this one particular, she had gathered four of her students in one of the bathrooms. And as the students were, she was kind of covering them with her body, and as the wind began to howl, and it wasn't one of those, you know, tornado is not one of those winds that rattles the windows, it actually one that sucks the windows out. And as the roof began to lift off of the school, some of the little kids began crying, and she said, one of them looked at her and said, so are we going to die now? And she said, no, we're not going to die. And then this is the part that caught me. She said, and then I did something that I'm not supposed to do. I began to pray. And I thought, why does it take something so traumatic for us to understand what is at our core? Why is it that when we've stripped away all of the policies, all of the politics, and all of the other things that keep us isolated and separated, when she is right there in the midst of what life is all, she said, the only place I can turn, let me pray. And she began to pray. And she said, as I began to do that, the children began to calm down. She said, we weren't out of any danger, but they understood that there was something more important. Sometimes it takes our brokenness for us to strip away all of our power, all of our pomp and circumstance, and say, at the very core, there is a spark of God trying to get out. It is on our brokenness. And we need to learn to be, as Reinhold Niebuhr once said, good stewards of our pain, of our brokenness. I love this passage. One time, Reinhold Niebuhr was a guy that wrote devotionals. And one time he was going around giving speeches and giving a lecture, and he was talking about growing up in a household, in a family, where both of his parents were alcoholics. And he said it was a dysfunctional family. It was an abusive family. And he said, but out of that, he said, I learned how abusive people can be. And he said, it made me a more compassionate person. And after he gave this talk, somebody came forward and they said, you know, I appreciate your talk. He said, but I really appreciated that you were a good steward of your pain. See, so often we think of stewardship, we think of our money, and how do we use our money? Are we using it for the right things? Are we doing what God had intended? And so for somebody to come and say, have you been a good steward of your pain? Have you learned what God gave it to you for? Have you learned and developed what it's all about? Paul says the following. He said, we carry the treasure in unadorned clay pots. On the outside, it looks ordinary. But if you only look at the outside, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness on the inside, the treasure that it contains. And sometimes we look at people and we see brokenness, but we don't see glory that is growing on the inside. God is giving you that strength on the inside. And finally, we are a fellowship of beautifully mended. I think it would be so wonderful if it were ever possible for a fellowship to get together, to admit their faults and their flaws, but recognize the beauty within. There's a beautiful story about how the Japanese, whenever there is a cracked pot, instead of trying to take that pot and glue it back together so it looked like it did originally, they fill in a lot of those cracks with gold so that the cracks become accentuated. And there is a beauty that is a result of being broken in the first place. And so a cracked pot is not just broken and useless, it is more beautiful than it could have been any other way. I love that analogy for what God does. Sometimes we face hardship in order that we can be even more beautiful. Maybe it's with a sincere heart or a generous spirit or a compassionate attitude, that all of that brokenness is filled with pure gold. That we don't deny that we've been broken, that we've been hurting, but as a result of that, we're able to do other things. We're able to enter other people's worlds and help them with difficulties and challenges and uncertainties. If you're facing difficulties, if you're facing brokenness and hurt, it's because God is giving you rebirth. He's making you and molding you into something new. Our lives are in constant risk because God is doing something in our lives more beautiful than is any other. And if you think about people that you know, people like Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa, these are people that had deep brokenness but had used it for a greater power. And that's what the Christian story is all about. Out of death comes resurrection. Out of pain comes healing. Out of death comes new life. We are being molded into something more beautiful. So what are the three things that God says we can do, or that Paul is inviting you? Number one, stay in touch with your limitations. Every time we gather for Holy Communion, we enter a time of confession. We are not perfect people. We are flawed. We are broken. But out of that brokenness, we are undergoing healing and restoration. We're beginning to be mended and transformed. Number two, let Christ take over. Let the beauty within shine through. Shine through the difficult times. Don't hide away and don't. So often there are people that are constantly feel, I can't come to church until I've got my whole life together. Or that the church seems to feel that this is a place for perfect people, when in flat fact, this is the place where the flaws come out even more. Let Christ take over, and then boast about our weakness. The Apostle Paul constantly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said he went to God and said, hey, I've got this thorn in my flesh. I've got this pain that is constantly taking over my life. And he said, take it away. And he said, God said, no. He said, in your weakness, my strength comes out all the more. And so what does Paul say? He said, I tell people about my weakness. I tell people God is doing wonderful things as a result of this weakness that I could not do any other way. If he can do it in my life, he can do it in your life. So let's get past the facade. Let's look at the cracks on the outside. And let's admit that they're there and then grow through them. Be able to use them for the good of everybody instead of just being pretending that we have it all together. So if this is something that is helpful for you, if you feel that there's brokenness that needs mending, let God do his work. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for using us in a powerful way, for bringing healing and restoration. Help us, O God, and help that one person that may need your special care. Watch over them and continue to undergird them with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.